Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, so let's begin with this. A man goes in a restaurant today, and a guy says to him, what's the difference between Romney supporters and Obama supporters? I said, what, do I have 100 different differences? No. There's one difference between Romney supporters and Obama supporters. I said, what is it? He said, Romney supporters sign the check on the front. Obama supporters sign the check on the back. It took me 5 seconds to start laughing. It's very funny. I never heard that one, did you? But, you know, that about summarizes it all. Of course, there are many other differences. We can go down the list. But that's one you could tell all of your friends, because I don't know a definition that's as clear as that one. We have ex-Navy SEALs who are so pissed off at this traitor in the White House. Yes, I use the word. Yes, I use the word clearly. This man is a traitor to American values. As far as I can tell, we have the first communist president in American history. Of course, what do you expect him to wear, a Che Guevara outfit? Do you expect the man to put on a red beret and wave a red flag? Are you people that naive? Any European, any ex-Soviet will tell you we have a communist in the White House. But the Americans are so naive that they don't even know what they see when they see it. I'll give you an example. We hear about how good he is for the environment and how good he is for green things and solar companies and things of that nature. Just as in the Soviet Union, gigantic projects were designed specifically to advance the pocketbooks of the bureaucrats within the Politburo. No one really made any, there were no jobs created and no money. So you say, what do you know about Solyndra? That's old news, is it? How about this one? Did you ever hear of the Tonopah Solar Company in Harry Reid's Nevada? Did you know that back in March, the Tonopah Solar Company in Harry Reid's Nevada got a $737 million loan from Obama's corrupt Department of Energy? Do you know this project will produce a 110-megawatt power system and employ a total of 45 workers? $737 million. That works out to $16 million per job under the communist president. But that's only the beginning of the scandal. One of the investment partners in this scam is Pacific Corporate Group, PCG. The PCG executive director is Ron Pelosi, who is the brother to Nancy's husband. Just move along, folks. Just move along, folks, and talk about the president's dog and how good he is for America and how he's our first person who's not a white president. Every American should know how their money is being stolen. This was sent to someone I know on the email chain. It's going around America. Nobody can believe that such naked corruption is occurring and not even being mentioned by Romney. So I'll tell you silly jokes, such as what's the difference between Romney supporters and Obama supporters? That's something even a Democrat can laugh at. Romney supporters sign the check on the front. Obama supporters sign the check on the back. I was culling the news, and I said to myself, I can't be the only American who is not interested in conventions. I'm not. I said, once the telephone was invented, political conventions should have ended. With the advent of Thomas Alva Edison and electricity, conventions should have ended, but they haven't. The first Republican National Convention occurred in 1856. Do you actually think there's a need for a convention? Do you think there's a need for a convention in the age of the telephone and the internet? What in the heck is this all about other than party apparatchiks partying? There's no other reason for it. The fact of the matter is, the nominees were essentially selected before the conventions and have been for a long period of time now. So what are the conventions for? There's no reason for them. They're gigantic wastes of money. They are gigantic wastes of money. gigantic wastes of money. I'm not interested in the RNC's convention, nor the DNC's convention. I wish it was just time to vote already. So then I look up some stories about Obama, and you know I wrote Trickle Down Tyranny, and I hope you've read the book by now. And I see that even the left, the legitimate liberals, as opposed to the fraudulent progressive folks, legitimate liberals understand that we have a dictatorship. I was stunned to find an article in the Huffington Post dated 3/21/2012 that I must have missed. Martial law by executive order. Even the liberals said that we had a government takeover under Obama. President Obama's National Defense Resources Preparedness Executive Order of March 16th does to the country as a whole what the 2012 National Defense Authorization Act did to the Constitution in particular. Completely eviscerates any due process or judicial oversight for any action by the government deemed in the interest of national security. Like the NDAA, the new executive order signed by the dictator Obama puts him completely above the law, which in a democracy is never supposed to happen. They write, now this is a liberal publication, the United States is essentially now under martial law without the exigencies of a national emergency. They said they can't believe this actually happened under a so-called progressive president. And I laughed to myself. I said, are you people that silly? Are you that naive to have believed that such acts would have been permitted under a conservative presidency? It could only happen under a progressive presidency because progressives are by definition and by nature communists and dictators. The fact of the matter is, you have a president right now, and his secretaries have the authority to commandeer all U.S. domestic resources, including food and water. They can seize all energy and transportation infrastructure inside the borders of the United States. Did you know that Obama can forcibly draft U.S. citizens into the military and force U.S. citizens to fulfill labor requirements for the purposes of national defense? There's not even any congressional oversight allowed, only briefings. That's right. They can take you off the street and put you into a labor camp if they say they're doing it for purposes of national defense. But it gets even worse. President of the United States, as a result of the 2012 law, which he passed in the middle of the night, gives him and his agents the right to seize and arrest any U.S. citizen, detain them indefinitely without charge or trial, and do so only on suspicion, without any judicial oversight or due process. Now, I could go into the details. It's an exaggeration to tell you that I'm concerned. Or shall I say it's not an exaggeration to say I'm more than concerned. I'm alarmed. The fact of the matter is I warned you about this in Trickle Down Tyranny. And when this article came out, I missed it. But I published it now. I posted it, rather, on the website michaelsavage.com. It was written by a liberal blogger, Jim Garrison. Martial law by executive order. I really advise you to read this, and you better read it really carefully to understand that even legitimate liberals understand that we have martial law under this dictator. Going along with his forged long-form birth certificate, going over the fact that he has a total control over the press, going over the fact that there's soon to be a volcano in the Middle East, the fraudulent administration of Obama, along with Pelosi and the Democrat leaders in most states who are now granting amnesty to illegal aliens in the form of fake driver's licenses in California just in time for the election, guarantees that we've lost our democracy in our lifetime. And it happened to you when you thought you had the first progressive president. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a democracy. This is a republic. There is a big difference, and we know that. But what you don't understand is that this NDAA that he signed, wrote this, was written in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night. And instead of talking about this, the viruses in the media are talking about a comment about abortion made by somebody in the Republican Party. Or about strip clubs in Tampa, Florida. So I have a job to do on the show every day, which is to do it, and to do it with such humor that you listen to it. And so I'm trying to do it with a degree of humor. It's not easy to do, by the way. 1-800-449, martial law by executive order. Martial law by executive order written by a liberal. Obama gave $737 million loan guarantee to Nevada solar firm tied to Pelosi clan. No investigation, no discussion by the viruses in the media. And finally, 1-800-449-8255, if you care to talk on this show, and you do clear Doug, you'll get to speak to more people than you've met in your entire life. What is the difference between backers of Romney and backers of Obama? Romney supporters signed the check on the front, while Obama supporters signed the check on the back. I'll be right back on Michael Savage.
Savage.
Well, there's a lot of news. Immigration agents are filing suit against the dictator Napolitano over her amnesty program. Her agents are suing her because she is acting like Obama in an imperial manner. They're all breaking the law. The top rung of the Democrat administration is a lawless, anarchistic bunch. Their agents are suing them. I'm not alone in what I see. Now, a poll just came out from Fox News, which shows that Romney is either in a dead heat or virtually a little bit ahead. Romney has the edge among white voters by 53% to 36%. Married voters, Romney wins 51% to 38%. Men, he wins 48% to 40%. Seniors, he wins 50% to 41%. And evangelical Christians, he wins 70% to 18%. Obama has the advantage among black voters, 86% to 6%. Women, 48% to 42%. Lower income households, those who sign the check on the back, 53% to 35%, love Obama because they get the checks from him. Young morons like Obama, 48% to 39%. The morons will run around in the street with their finger on the iPhone. And unmarried voters, 55% to 34%. The interesting part here is that independents back Romney, 42% to 33%, but 1 in 4 is undecided. It's all amongst the independents right now. And if Romney doesn't understand this, if Romney doesn't appeal to the independents like you who listen to this show, he's not going to win. Now let's go to the callers, 1-800-449-8255. Peter in New York from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. Hey, like you, I'm an independent conservative. I am not voting for Obama. But as far as the, you know, you were mentioning the martial law examples, didn't George W. Bush put a lot of this stuff in place to begin with?
No. See, here's the thing. This is how the liberals have confused you and many others. When the Patriot Act was first signed by Bush, the illegitimate left said that all of us are in danger of martial law. What they left out was that there was judicial oversight required for any arrest in the United States of America. Moreover, the original Patriot Act did not give the president the right to kill a U.S. citizen anywhere. Now, move the clock ahead. The dictator from Chicago, in the middle of the night on New Year's Eve, signs the first NDAA, and then in March signs another, giving him absolute power with no judicial oversight and with the power to kill without any regard to the legality of it. He could decide who dies. Do you know this or not?
Well, when you say the power to kill, aren't we referring largely to, you know, the Islamist who happened to be born in America, but he was overseas? So if we're talking about
Are we talking about them? It doesn't say Islamists who were born in America, but who are residing overseas and are threatening us. It says anyone. Anyone who threatens us. Anyone who threatens our national security. So who is that?
Who is what? I'm sorry.
Who is that? Who threatens our national security? Who decides that?
It's a great point. I'm just saying
telling you how it worked in the ex-Soviet Union. Anyone who threatened the power structure was considered a threat to national security and was rounded up by the secret police and thrown into the gulag. Don't think that can't happen here. Why can't it happen here?
But have they taken an American-grown citizen who lives here right now?
We don't know yet. I don't know who's disappeared that I know of. I don't know of anyone yet. But what's to say he can't do it? He's given himself the power to do it and to seize any resource to draft anyone at any time and to conscript them into labor camps if he wishes. It's all in writing. Bush didn't sign this. Obama did.
All right. Well, thank you for clarifying that.
Well, what I'd like you to do is read this for yourself, because I was shocked to read it. I missed it when it came out in March, and it was written by a liberal blogger on the Huffington Post. And I dug it up again, and it's on michaelsavage.com for your convenience, okay? I was shocked. Now, couple this power madness and these power grabs with the naked bunko coming out of the White House, bunko in the form of billions of dollars in loans, bunko that in any other administration would have resulted in an FBI investigation. By the way, what did the FBI do with all the files they grabbed from Solyndra? Does anyone know? Remember when that happened over a year ago? I said, well, at least we know the FBI is working for us. Someone called me and said, Mike, are you that naive? The reason the FBI swooped in and grabbed Solyndra's files is to make certain that the Republicans in Congress never find out who got the money. I said, don't be that cynical. Guess who was right? It wasn't me. Guess who was right? It wasn't me. Okay, so if you want to talk about these serious questions, I'm here for you. And although it's late August and most people are on vacation or their mind is somewhere else, I don't know about you. I've never seen anything like this. The stripping away of our constitutional protections under this gangster regime, and I have no other words for it that would work. The gangster regime has stripped away our constitutional protections because the vermin in the media are focusing on abortion. Little rats, the virus is in the media. The virus is like Wolf Blitzer. Are focusing on abortion, focusing on strip clubs in Tampa. They are the most shameful examples of those people who have been assigned the duty that comes with being a member of the Fourth Estate. That is correct. People like myself take our responsibilities quite seriously. Shame on them. Shame on them. 1-800-449-8255. John in New York, welcome to the show from WOR.
Do you fear that you might be taken in the middle of the night? I'm sure he's got a detail of agents listening to your show. Do you fear this?
Do I fear it? I think about it. I don't know that I fear it.
It's interesting, because the way you describe this act, it looks like he might take you in the middle of the night. But I mean, I'll pray for you that that doesn't happen.
Well, let's say I'm still safe till the election. Let's put it to you that way. After the election, I might move to Iceland. And get a cod fishing boat.
Well,
You think it's a joke? I am telling you that people are going to flee this country after this man. If God forbid this man steals the second election, he hoodwinked people in the first election. Most intelligent people know who he is. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. Anyone with a brain knows that this man is a con man and a fraud. But more than that, he's more dangerous than any president in American history because he wants to steal our very freedoms themselves.
Savage.
So the fact of the matter is we have a new executive order that went unnoticed in March that can be conducted in peacetime without any national emergency to justify it. They can be just done for purposes of national defense. So what does that mean? What does this mean? Don't you understand what has happened under this regime? The new executive order gives Obama, through the Secretary of Labor, the right to mobilize U.S. citizens for labor as the government deems necessary and to coordinate with the Secretary of Defense, whatever that means. What is this executive order? There is no oversight. It's the first time in American history. And like the previous NDAA, which I spelled out in detail in Trickle-Down Tyranny, the new executive order passed in March, which went unnoticed by the viruses in the media, puts the government completely above the law, which in a republic such as ours is not supposed to be permitted. The United States is right now under martial law without the exigencies of a national emergency. And yet you're focusing on which slut from Hollywood slept with one fake man from Hollywood, which moron with a bat hit what ball to who is dating what, and I blame the press for it because they have abrogated their responsibilities as the Fourth Estate. What does the Fourth Estate mean? You can pretty much figure it out. But when you see what they have become, which are just servile flatterers of the presidency, that's why he's able to get away with it. Pennsylvania, Phil, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor to speak with you. I'm a professor of political science, and I did an interesting assignment for my students, most of whom are juniors and seniors. I made them listen to your show once and write a paper about it, then made them listen for 14 days or go to your website 14 times and write a second paper. The first paper, the majority said that you were a lunatic and didn't want to listen to you. After the second series of papers came in, 60% had a completely different change of view and began talking about topics and substance rather than about personality. I thought that it was amazing, and I just want to thank you for having an influence on the young people.
Wow.
If we can just get them to listen.
Well, you know, how do you even survive as a professor of poli-sci, which is totally leftist in this country? How do you even survive in your department?
I'm tenured. If I wasn't, I'd be scrubbing garbage cans, I assure you.
Oh, God, that's so terrible. But, no, I want to go back to the initial, the children's initial response that I'm a lunatic, and that's because they've been so brainwashed by the by the so-called brainwashing process, the NEA, that they thought that I was crazy, not them.
Right. They thought you were making things up and that you were slandering and you were, you know, just coming up with things out of the air. When they would write those papers and I would ask them to defend some of the things that they thought were, you know, were just out of bounds, they couldn't. I forced them to go to your website and research some things that they took issue with, and of course they couldn't. They couldn't come up with an answer, and I basically
So this is the iPhone generation.
Yeah,
these are the people who run around with a thumb on a, on an iPhone thinking they're Einstein. God help us all. Have you seen a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny yet? Because I'd love to send you one.
No, sir, I have not, but I've just told my daughter I want it for my birthday.
I'm sending it to you for your Labor Day holiday. It'll go out tomorrow. Unbelievable call. Unbelievable call, but you know it's what I hear all the time. Is that if a person listens to Michael Savage for the first time, they can draw only one conclusion. He's crazy. He's a liar. He's making it all up. You listen a second time, he's crazy. He's a liar, but maybe he's not making it all up. Third time, he's crazy. He's not a liar, and he's not making it all up. Fourth time, you know, he's not so crazy. He's not really a liar, and he's not making it up. Fifth time, you know, I actually agree with some of what he says. And so forth. You take it down the line. It's because these poor people are not exposed to any other way of thinking than what the newspapers feed them or what their communist professors have driven into their head, the drivel that has been driven into their brains. Remember, I don't make the news. I report the news in my own way and with my own interpretation. But when I tell you that we have martial law by executive order, and I say I didn't write the article, it was published on a liberal blog, Huffington Post, in March, by an alarmed real liberal as opposed to a knee-jerk progressive communist. I didn't make that up. I'm telling you what has happened. And he says the only thing, well, he concludes like this, and it's worth reading to you. And I'm going to read, our political elites have come to consider democracy an impediment to effective governance, and they are slowly and painstakingly creating all the democratic legalities necessary to abridge our democratic rights with impunity, all to ensure our so-called security. Of such measures do republics fall, and by such measures tyrants emerge. The only thing that really remains is the occasion to test the new rules of the game. Perhaps that will be war with Iran. Perhaps some contrived emergency. Or perhaps as long as the public and media remain asleep. No occasion will be necessary at all. It will just slowly happen of its own accord, and we, like the frog in the pot of slowly boiling water, we'll just sit there and be consumed by our own turpitude. This is beautifully written. It's shocking. It should be required reading for every citizen before the election. And God only knows that if Romney had the guts, he would say things like this. He would challenge Obama on these executive orders. He would ask him about martial law. He'd ask him about the fraudulent solar contracts. You know what amazes me? I'm not a military man myself, but I greatly respect military people, particularly combat veterans. I have very little regard for the bureaucrats in the Pentagon in that they're no different than pogo stick jumpers in universities. The combat veterans have a special place in my heart because without them, we'd all be speaking German. That is their ancestors or their derivatives of the same metal. Without them, perhaps we'd be speaking Chinese right now, rudiments of Chinese, as we were laboring in a field. But there's an event that occurred not too long ago that nobody talks about but me. And that is the death of 21 Navy SEALs, five men in the Special Forces, and they went down in a Chinook helicopter. 21 Navy SEALs, more than ever died in any other mission put together, all the missions put together. They died under Obama's watch. And we keep hearing about what a great commander-in-chief this fraud is. This peacenik, hippie, communist is considered a great commander-in-chief. They're trying to sell that bill of goods. The counter-argument is, why don't you tell the people about who decided to put those 21 Navy SEALs on a single Chinook helicopter? That, again, is something Romney should bring up. Romney will not bring it up because his campaign manager voted for Obama. This is sickening. But it begs the question, who in the Pentagon put the Navy SEALs on that Chinook helicopter? Who made that decision? Who? Why has there been no investigation of this? Why? I want to know. Now, I'll tell you, I'm never going to know because there's a gigantic cover-up. How can our most elite warriors, more of them have ever died than in all missions put together, and no one talks about it? How? It's heartbreaking. It gets me sick, gets me crazy, gets me mad, gets me angry, and gets me going. In fact, it gets me so angry that the opening scene to my next novel, which has already been published, it's too late to stop it, called A Time for War, is based upon that event. 21 SEALs go down in a Chinook helicopter in Afghanistan. That's the opening scene to A Time for War. As a matter of fact, it's been published because the publisher put out an advance edition of the book, that chapter. It was so stirring. But no one's talking about it. A Time for War. That's the novel coming out next spring from St. Martin's Press, who published Abuse of Power. It so agitated me that I made it the lead to my next novel. Now, why do you think the czars of Hollywood like Harvey Slimstein will not turn my action novel, Abuse of Power, into a movie? And make a fabulous movie. I can think of five guys who could play the lead. Liam Neeson is a little old for it, but he could easily play the part of Jack. I can name five other stars who would be perfect for the role, who would love this movie. I'd go to the movies to see a movie like that. Why? Why? Because Harvey Slimstein would never, ever permit a movie like this to be distributed. Harvey Slimstein is a dyed-in-the-wool left-wing fanatic who supports Obama. Now, you have to ask yourself, why do guys like Harvey Slimstein slavishly worship a guy like Obama? Why? Why do they slavishly worship a guy like Obama when their freedoms themselves are at stake? And I finally figured it out. Doesn't take a genius to figure it out. Because they figured that an ultra-liberal like Obama will have hands off on the pornography and violence that they publish in the form of movies. Whereas an uptight, rigid Christian like Romney might do something about the slime that Slimstein puts out. It's as simple as that. It's business. So, in other words, the wild and free Democrats, for whom pornography and violence is currency to keep the people stupid, how do you think they get away with grant? Let's go to California. How do you think this brown creature who lied to everybody, pretending to be a centrist? I gave him $5,000 5 years ago. I thought he was a centrist. Boy, was I fooled. One of my friends told me he's not really as liberal as he pretends. He's even worse than he was in the 60s. He's a demagogue of the worst order. Governor Brown of California, who pretended to be a centrist, is now rushing around the clock to grant licenses to illegal aliens who were turned into fake citizens by Obama to give them licenses in time for the election. It's fraud. Your ancestors died to protect the ballot box. These demagogues are stealing your birthright. In any other time, they'd be arrested for this. They'd be imprisoned for this. If a foreign government had taken over this country and had put operatives in Sacramento or in Washington, they could not have gotten away with more actions against our freedoms than these guys have gotten away with in as short a period of time themselves. Because even a foreign power that would have invaded could not have done it overnight. They would have had to do it by degree. Or else there'd be a rebellion. Remember, there's so many people armed in this country, armed and dangerous and ready to fight. They'd rather fight and die than be a prisoner of these creeps. So they would never, even if a foreign power had seized this government. I don't know how to explain it to you because all of this is in my novel, in a fantasy form. They could, let's take a scenario together. The Chinese communists took over America. That's a fantasy, isn't it? With Madeleine Albright, Sandy Berger, and others working around the clock. Henry Kissinger working around the clock to make certain that you're dumb about what China has done to this country. These are traitors. In my opinion, every person I just mentioned should be held up on sedition charges. You know, it's one thing to be a legitimate businessman. It's another thing to lobby actively against American companies and against American interests. And those people are traitors, as far as I'm telling you. That is why the jobs went to China. That's why 50,000 factories went out of business. That is why businesses are dying across America. It's because of China. They're destroying us because of men like, shall I name them again? Henry Kissinger, Sandy Berger. There are several others. Several others whose job, whose only job, is to make certain that we, the moron American, are focused only on abortion, and pornography. So we don't really know what's going on. And these people pose as American citizens, but they're not really American citizens, are they? They're traitors through and through. And in another time, they would have been held up on charges of sedition. But who's going to hold them up on what charges? You mean the FBI that just investigated Republicans for bathing in the Sea of Galilee? Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot we had oversight there. Pardon me. I'll take a break.
Savage.
Well, look, I'm laying it out for you. I'm not going to sit here and agitate over it. I'm telling you what's going on to the best of my ability. I told you that even liberals, legitimate liberals, understand Obama's a dictator. He has destroyed our constitutional protections. The problem for you is that the press is non-existent in the country. Zero. Doesn't exist. It disappeared in your lifetime. You can blame a hundred different reasons for it. So when you see the Huffington Post publishing martial law by executive order, which I posted on michaelsavage.com so you can read it yourself, when you see even legitimate liberals understand who this man is, you understand what trouble we are in. Now let's go to the callers. Pittsburgh, PA, Dakota, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I just wanted to say that this is the best show I've ever listened to. I started listening to it, and things really start to make sense.
Well, what do you mean? You started listening today or another day?
I started listening about a week ago. And what really, honestly, I don't understand how, like, I'm actually in the United States Army Reserves. And when I joined, I was 17 with all intentions of defending such, you know, a great country, yeah. I thought.
Yes.
Until I started listening to your show, and I'm like, wow, you know, I was actually, you know, pumped, you know, if I ever got the chance to deploy, which I have not yet.
Well, look what they just did to the Marine, Brandon Raub. Do you know about him? He was arrested for posting something against Obama on Facebook.
No, I didn't know.
They took a 26-year-old former U.S. Marine, pro-liberty activist, and said that he was a psychiatric problem. The FBI, the Secret Service, and police swarmed his house and then seized him. And without a warrant or recitation of his Miranda rights, the Marine Raub was handcuffed by the military and taken into custody. After a quick hearing with no oversight, so-called government officials confirmed that the Marine's Facebook posts necessitated his detention. They refused to acknowledge legal objections, and they threw him into a VA medical center. This used to happen in the ex-Soviet Union. Do you realize it's happening under Obama?
Yeah, that's... From listening to you, I understand that, you know, we are under control of a communist here, and I mean...
I'm going to send you a book that you shouldn't bring to your base. It's called Trickle Down Tyranny, not self-published, published by one of America's great publishers, HarperCollins. It was a bestseller for many weeks on the New York Times list. It's a book you must read, because I spell it out. Argue with the facts, don't argue with me. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Arizona. John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
A lot of things, Dr. Savage. And since you have, you know, one of the best research teams probably in the business, I told your screener, I've lived up here in northern Arizona for a little over 5 years, and I lived up here 5 years after that. Before that, I went back to New York, and that's a whole other show dealing with the Elliott Spitzer machine in New York that destroyed me financially.
But what exactly is your main point? Because it's very hard to follow you.
This is what I called about specifically, which is in tune with what you're talking about. I have met in the last 10 years up here in northern Arizona and in Sedona a phenomenal amount of alphabet soup guys and special forces guys and gals, investigative reporters whose lives have been threatened from the Bush administration into this administration. And every single one of these alphabet guys resigned from the NSA, the CIA, all of those agencies because they found out what was going on and they didn't want to be any part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can only imagine what's really going on, but I don't think it takes much of an imagination when you take a look at who's in the White House and what he's doing. I mean, it's so naked to people who really have studied history that there's no, you don't even have to be a genius to see it. It's right in front of our eyes, but the people are dumb. The people are dumb. The ice cream lickers. The ice cream lickers. That's all. Well, look, what do you want me to talk about? Let's be cute for a while. Teddy's under my desk. I gave him a bath before the show. His fur is wet. I thought he would electrocute us because there's so many wires. It was so poorly. My broadcast desks are so primitive. They date back to 10, 12 years. The wiring is on the floor. So Teddy is laying there with wet fur on the wires. I thought that he would set us on fire here in the broadcast studio. During the break, I had to pick him up with his wet fur. I wiped him a little bit, and I had to throw a towel on the wires, and he went back on the over the towel. It's a cute little story. Where are you, Teddy? No, he's not there anymore. Even he realized that he was a conductor. Because I was rubbing his fur with my toes while I was talking with you on the microphone, as he was snoozing on the wires, and I looked down, I said, holy God, wet fur, he's a good conductor, he could set a, he could electrocute, both. If there's a short circuit, both of us could get electrocuted here on the radio show. So that's the little funny things about life. What are you going to do? I mean, I guess living well is the best revenge, I guess. To me, truth is the best revenge. I think everything is at stake. I mean, unless Romney articulates the rape of the Constitution that has occurred under Obama, we're finished. But I, you know, looking at the latest poll that Drudge just published up from Fox News, that's on the top of his site, you look at the poll, do you actually think that the people who are voting for Obama would care? Do you actually think that the people who are Obama supporters would care if he was a naked dictator? No. Even Woody Allen said he wished that there was a dictatorship. That little worm, that little communist worm from Brooklyn. Ooh, don't get me started.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language. Adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's the joke that can change the course of the election. Just try it on some neighbors and friends over the next few days. What's the difference between Romney supporters and Obama supporters? Romney supporters sign the check on the front, while Obama supporters sign the check on the back. You'll get a laugh, for sure. You'll get a real laugh, but then you'll embarrass people into understanding that those who produce who work at a job and pay taxes vote for Romney, and those who receive welfare or some government handout or work for a state or federal or city government. In other words, those who are on the pig trough of public work will vote for Obama because the pig trough has never been better. The benefits have never been better for the pigs at the trough. The retirement benefits have never been better for the pigs on the trough. They would vote for him. And they sign the checks on the back. 1-800-449-8255. Let's move on. I've told you about martial law by executive order. It's a shocker that we are now living in martial law, written by a liberal blogger, published on the Huffington Post website back in March. I just picked it up today, put it on michaelsavage.com. It scared even me. A new executive order that gives the president absolute power. You say, well, they're not really going to use it. Oh, really? Tell that to the Marine who was just arrested and put into a mental hospital for evaluation without any judicial oversight, for posting on his Facebook site some criticisms of the president. You know, this is pretty bad time. These are bad times. So just tell the joke then. Check on the front, check on the back. That'll get the message across, and maybe we can swing that one out of four independents into the Romney camp. Maybe we can embarrass people into doing the right thing. I don't know. Or you want to call me on other topics, you can do it. Yesterday we were talking about sauce versus gravy. We're still debating it. I can't do it for another hour. But we have one caller on the barbecue issue, which I can't resist taking. New York WOR Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, just talking about that whole mafia barbecue kind of thing, or a kind of get-together. They really, no such thing would ever take place. I had an uncle who was a soldier in the Genovese family. He's dead, by the way, so I can speak freely about him. And his brother actually was the captain of the crew that they were in, and actually came up with Murder Incorporated, Albert Anastasia. And in some mafia books, you can even find their names. Because the nature of the business is just cold. I mean, they just don't get together because there is no brotherhood, and there's always the fear that you're being watched. And so a large gathering.
This is how this started yesterday. On the show, I was joking about a barbecue I was thinking of having for Labor Day, and I said they're never any good. I said the only good barbecues I ever see are in cop movies or mafia movies where they have these great barbecues, and I said I don't think they really exist. And a guy called and said, no, you're wrong. I was at one in Sacramento. And so you're saying what I suspect is true. There are no such things.
No. And first of all, Mike, there were hardly any wise guys in Sacramento. I could tell you that first.
That got me a belly laugh. That's funny.
I lived in San Francisco, and I was in Sacramento. And believe me, it's not a place where mafia guys would want to live. So, but no, it's the truth. But you know, as you meet these guys and you see the life they live, I mean, you know, this kind of fraternity wouldn't exist in the first place. I mean, your best bet to, I mean, people might find them at social clubs where they'll drink coffee and they'll have various types of, you know, foods or whatever. But as far as like an outing, barbecuing, this stuff virtually doesn't exist because of the nature of their business and the fact that they really aren't close with one another. These are business relationships, nothing more, nothing less. Just, you know, very vicious.
Intuition that there's no such thing, I'm not missing anything, in other words.
No, not at all. And even if something like that took place, they would be eating the same foods anyone else did. Hot dogs, hamburgers, bratwurst would be on the grill, sausage and peppers, you know, they'd have macaroni salad, potato salad, steaks. I mean, it would be as American as it would be anything Italian. So, but the
idea. All right, so now here's the last word on the sauce versus gravy. What did you call it when you were a kid? What did your mother call it?
Gravy. Gravy. It's you don't even think about it until someone who has some sort of cultural refinement says, you mean sauce. And you say, well, yeah, I know technically you're right, but Italians, Neapolitans, Sicilians, I mean, it's just Sunday's gravy day. That's all there is to it. That's
well, I spoke to my friend who owns a restaurant this morning, and he's an Italian from Italy, but he lives in San Francisco. He said, well, sauce is different than gravy. He said he told me that sauce is basically a cheaper version than gravy is a cheaper version of a sauce. It's quick. It's usually cooked with the renderings of the fat from the meat, and it's made quickly. He said cheaper. He actually used the word cheaper. Doesn't mean it doesn't taste better. It does.
Because there's, you know, home cooking of this has all kinds of tricks that, you know, you use old bacon grease and, you know, to get the flavor out. But it's just, you know, you just say gravy. It's like so a matter of fact. You don't even
I know I'm going to get 100 calls now from different Italian views, but. So, Mike, your uncle is gone?
Yeah, he passed away in the early 90s.
So, if he was alive, you wouldn't have made this call?
I probably would have because he would have been a guy not interested in kind of, you know, this stuff wouldn't be here. But I wouldn't have said openly that he was actually a member of the Genovese crime family, and his brother was actually the captain of the crew he was in, who actually came up with Albert Anastasia and Murder Incorporated. And there's a book, I don't remember the name of it, it's about the Pleasant Avenue Tavern, which existed in Harlem, New York, which was the heroin headquarters of America at the time. And his crew was involved in that whole Pleasant Avenue thing, and they spent a lot of time in jail for heroin distribution and drugs and so on. And then eventually left, got into the numbers business, which is where they made most of their money thereafter. But
Speaking of numbers, let me ask you something. Indian gambling casinos, they pay no taxes. How come? Does anyone have an answer to that?
Nobody. Yeah,
here's a question that keeps every time I hear Obama or the fraudulent Democrats making believe that they're robbing from the rich to give to the poor. They keep saying that the rich should pay their fair share. How come no one ever brings up that Indian gambling casinos should pay their fair share? How come that's a no-no? Why does no one mention that?
And no one, I think, really even cares. I mean, the government has given them a sanction because supposedly, like all other groups, they owe some form of reparation, and this is the way to kind of make up for it. Although Donald Trump has said, and I work for Donald Trump, actually, if you don't mind saying, I have a security guard. I do security work for his company. And he's gone into those casinos up in Connecticut. He says that they don't look like any Indians I've ever seen.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I mean, Indians. I think I'm more Indian than some of them.
Well, I do know that, you know, like...
Well, yes, you know, so I'm glad Trump has the guts to say it. Why don't they pay their fair share of taxes? That would help balance the budget, wouldn't it? We never hear anybody mentioning it. But, hey, this is a great call. But one thing I'm going to ask you, please, folks, don't call about gravy and don't call about... please, no more gravy sauce. It's an interesting topic, but we can't do it for 2 days in a row. Fox News poll, Romney pulls into lead. Romney pulls into lead, but it's amongst those people who earn a living. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? What's the difference between Romney supporters and Obama supporters? Try it out on your relatives who are Democrats. See what happens. Romney supporters sign the check on the front. Obama supporters sign the check on the back. And I will be right back.
Savage.
What's interesting is that Obama is not winning the senior citizen vote. Apparently, the butterfly ballot folks in Florida have warmed up to Romney. I don't know how that happened. I mean, you think that the butterfly ballot folks in Boca Raton, Fort Lauderdale, in that area would still love Obama no matter what. But no, the butterfly ballot ladies of Boca are moving towards Romney. In key states such as Florida and Wisconsin, Romney is actually leading Obama. But in the key battleground state of Ohio, which was stolen for Democrats many times in the past, Obama is still leading his Republican rival, Mitt Romney. It's interesting that seniors, though, have moved over to Mitt. I never would have thought that would have happened. How's that possible? Medicare, Medicaid, the environment. I guess it's the Medicare fear that one of the scams of Medicare will, you know, cut back so they can't spend their money in Indian gambling casinos. You know, less money for an Indian... You know, the junkets to the gambling casinos for the seniors is a big perk. You ever see these buses coming out of San Francisco? It's so cynical, it's frightening. We have one up here, Indian casino, Indian this, Indian that. I don't even know where it is near Sacramento. So I see buses on the highway racing up Highway 101. I see billboards in Chinatown that are so cynical they make me blanch. The billboards show a steaming wok of Chinese food. And it says, your good luck awaits you at the Blankety Rock Resort. I said, oh, my God. You talk about racist stereotypes. A steaming wok with food. Your good luck awaits you. You hear this? You got the poor waiters and the poor busboys. They toil like slaves. And then they fleece them up there. Yeah, we need more gambling. Fleece them up there. What else? Mets swept by Rockies. Despite McHugh's strong debut, Mets swept by Rockies. I don't know. I can't get excited about grown men wearing striped uniforms and hitting a ball on the field. Maybe there's something wrong with me. I think that could be considered a crime against American values if you're not a sports fan. But then you'll have to accuse me of a crime because I have never been interested in sports. Well, I wouldn't just say never. I remember in 1952, I went to the Yankee Stadium. I still have a baseball from that game. In my drawer. I do. I still have a ball. It must be worth something now today. Is there a ball collector out there? How much would a ball from the Yankee Stadium, a certified, like, knit ball made of leather from the Yankee Stadium circa 1952 be worth today? $12? $15? I don't know. How much could it be worth? I love these shows. I get a kick out of them, these antiques road shows. What is everyone, poor in the country? You see some yucca puck from, like, Toledo. They bring in a vase or a picture. And then the schmuck from the museum, well, you know, we looked at a thing like this, and we have one of those, and they brought him in, and do you know how much this is worth, your grandmother's underwear? How much? $1,200. Whoa! And they go, whoa, $1,200. That's a lot of money. Think of what you can do with it at an Indian gambling casino. How many runs of the machine you could have with it. I can't believe it. Yes, we've analyzed this vase. It came from your great grandmother when the Shanti iron came in. And the Shanti, it was found in the bottom. And we analyzed it and we took it to the museum. We put it through a laser beam. Do you know how much your grandmother's vase is worth today, Bertha? How much is it? $379. Oh, my God. And they walk away happy. Their life was made on the spot. I don't know, maybe it's me, but how could you get excited over those sums of money? I don't understand it anymore. The whole country doesn't make sense to me from top to bottom. But, hey, you know what I mean? Different vases for different phases. That's all. I bought vases in my life. Yeah, I bought vases. What's now? Government gene sleuth stopped contagion like superbug that killed six. Government gene sleuths. Yeah, right. Gene sleuths. Over six frightening months, a deadly germ, untreatable by most antibiotics, spread in the nation's leading research hospital. Oh, really? The bug, a patient a week was catching the bug? Scientists at the National Institutes of Health locked down the leading research hospital. How is this happening? Where are all of these contagious bugs coming from? Let's start with open borders. Boys and girls, let's use common public health sense. When your great-granny or your great-great-granny came to America at one time, they were inspected for a disease. But you see, to the mayors of today, there's no such thing as disease. They're under the mistaken notion that with modern medicines, virtually every disease can be controlled. Well, it turns out they are wrong. There are diseases that were once annihilated in America that are resurging as a result of your liberal or non-existent Homeland Security Department, as a result of this open border with Mexico. In particular, we have third world contagion spreading in the United States of America. Embarrassing, I admit. Embarrassing, I admit. With the Neolithic mentality that's arriving with it, I would say the disease of the Neolithic mentality is even a graver threat to our freedoms than are the bugs that are arriving. But since most of you don't know what Neolithic means, we'll let that fly by the outfield. We'll just let it fly right out of the baseball park. Now, why would the elites want Neolithic immigrants to the country? Why would they want people who are not even literate in their own language in this country? Listen to what I just said to you. I don't mind that a person speaks Spanish. It's a beautiful language. I've read the literature of Spain when I studied Spanish. Some of it was fabulous. Most of the Spanish-speaking illegal immigrants are illiterate in Spanish. They cannot read it. They can't write it. Did you know that? Now, why would politicians such as Bloomberg want as many of those type of folks in his city as possible? Why would Governor Brown want as many Neoliths in the state as possible? Why? Because he can continuously get elected. He can continuously build trains to nowhere. He can continuously tax people who actually provide goods and services to the state until they all leave the state. In other words, demagoguery, my folks. Demagoguery, which is a cousin of thuggery. Demagoguery is what thugs with power do. Thugs without power are thugs. They're called just gang street gang thugs. But when you ascend to the heady level of a mayorship or to a governorship or a presidency, you're no longer called a thug. You're called a demagogue by those who know what you're doing. And if it becomes illegal to call them demagogues and the FBI arrives and puts you into a mental hospital, as they've just done to a U.S. Marine, why then you know, my friends, what progressivism is all about. It's just another word for communism. But then again, it's very hard to explain that to people who sign checks on the back, not on the front. What would you like to talk about? Executive orders, non-executive orders. No more in the casino. I made my point already. I don't want to wind up with a tomahawk in my soup, okay? If Donald Trump said it and I said it, that's good enough. But how come Romney doesn't say it? That when I'm elected, I'll tax Indian casinos and we'll raise $25 billion a month. How much would they raise if they taxed casinos at the normal business rate? I mean, Trump pays taxes.
Savage.
So here we are. Here we are on the Savage Nation waiting for the big campaign to begin. It's been going on, it seems, for my entire adult life. I have no idea why anyone would support the these parties, such called conventions. They began in 1856. My contention is that with the invention of electricity and then the telephone, there was no longer a need for a Republican or Democrat convention. In that, nominees were essentially selected earlier and earlier until eventually the conventions were no longer what they originally called for. In other words, they had a convention so that representatives could come there by horseback and then pick a candidate. This has been going on for 150 years. Do you think the waste of money that we see is something to be respected on the part of Democrats and Republicans? I don't. Email in the name of the candidate and cut out the partying. The country is drowning in debt. The government is printing money as fast as you can say the word money. They don't stop the presses going. The projections are nightmarish. So what do we need conventions for? What do you mean tax more? Stop the conventions. Use that money for whatever social programs you want. Okay, let's take some callers. I've talked enough, at least for a while. In WRKO in Boston, Massachusetts, Doug, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
What you're missing is neither party cares. Everything is orchestrated for the benefit of the massive international corporations. Everything from the euro, stripping all the countries of their sovereign rights. Every single thing is orchestrated. Anyone that believes that the president or Congress are running anything is delusional.
Hold on. You've made an awful lot of sweeping generalizations, which I disagree with, incidentally. Let's start with what the president has done that no other president has done before him that was not done by corporations, which is the National Defense Resources Preparedness Executive Order of March 16th, which gives him the powers of martial law. How can you accuse a corporation of doing that? Oh, the professor from Harvard hung up. I guess the Harvard prof hung up because he didn't have a student that he could browbeat with the threat of a D or an F.
It's the corporations, man. You got to understand, you're ignorant if you think there's any difference between either of them. It's those evil corporations like Burger King and Walmart. They're the reason we're in trouble. Yeah, it's the corporation.
You mean like the Harvard Corporation? You mean like the corporations that support the Harvard Corporation? You mean like the wealthy Americans who give money to the Harvard Corporation so that ignoramuses like him could call a show like this because he has a tenured professorship where he doesn't even have to work for a living? He can just call in the job?
Those corporations, man. Yeah, all power to the people.
Who would pay for tenure if there were no corporate grants? Who would pay for NPR if there were no corporate grants? You know, Romney has said that he'll cut back funding on NPR. I don't believe it. He's just trying to appease a certain element of the pie. But boy, is that overdue. If NPR ever had to compete in the marketplace, they wouldn't be around too long, you know, with their fugue music that they like to play to make believe they're high class. All you got to do is play a concerto in between breaks, and they swoon over you. Ooh, how intelligent. And then every once in a while, throw in an English professor. I mean, somebody with a fake English accent from Brooklyn. Who's a, an Anglophobe, an Anglophile. And then if you... What is that music I'm hearing in the background? Huh? Something is leaking into my show. Do you have that Savage NPR piece we once put together, that fake one? See if you could find that one. That was fun. We did that a while ago. If you really, really, really want to impress liberals, what you do is you play kind of very sad classical music between takes, and then they really think you're intelligent. Then you have a pseudo-British accent to go with it. That's even a better topper. And then if you really want to sound intelligent, you throw the word green in about every six sentences. And then say global or globalization. And then every 12 sentences you attack corporate greed. And then before long you sound like you're ready for a professorship at UC Berkeley. Massachusetts College offers new scholarship for illegal immigrants. You know what impresses me is how the Indian chiefs running America, meaning the corrupt white politicians, I call them Indian chiefs because they're the same as the Indian chiefs who sold the tribes down the river, Remember, the Indians were noble people willing to fight for their sovereignty. Look what happened to them. And that was primarily not because the warriors were not good. It's because their chiefs were bought out for wampum and for, you know, for whiskey and wampum. And our Indian chiefs are selling us down the river, probably for the same things, whiskey and blondes, I would guess. God only knows what they're getting. But the fact of the matter is, how can these Indian chiefs so pander to non-citizens and completely ignore the legitimate citizenry of this country? I will never understand it. Case in point, California. Here we have a demagogue, Jerry Brown, who posed as a centrist, but turns out to be more of a leftist than he was back in the 60s, back in the day. The man is now working overtime with the Hispanic lobby to grant driver's licenses to illegal aliens who were just made into fake citizens by Obama. Obama could be arrested for what he did. Obama had no authority to grant citizenship because he overrode Congress. If we had a Congress with a spine, they would have impeached him for it just before the election. They would have impeached him for overriding our checks and balances. They would have impeached him because he overrode the will of most of the people. Because I know that even Democrats in the state of California are anti-illegal immigrant. Incidentally, it's not because they have anything against Hispanic people. It's because they know that the social services in the state are being sucked dry by the non-citizens who don't even pay taxes. That's why. It's commonsensical. So the Indian chiefs, like Governor Brown, completely ignore the legitimate voter and step over themselves, pandering to the illegal Hispanic voter, as though the legitimate voter doesn't even matter anymore. And the same is true for Romney, incidentally. Yes, it's true for Obama, we know already. That's a given. But Romney is more concerned about the non-citizen Hispanic voter than he is about the Tea Party, who he dismisses and sneers at. I don't know if you know this. I know you don't want to hear any of this, but it's a given I'm going to vote for Romney because it's anyone but the communist. Anyone but the communist machine that's running this country, as the way I see it. I'll take my chances on a corrupt corporate Romney over a communist who wants to take away my birthright. I'll put it to you that way. And I'll sleep better at night with Romney in the White House in terms of national security, because something in me tells me that his interests with regard to America and American values are a little closer to mine than are the man from Kenya. I mean Indonesia. I mean Punahou. I mean Hawaii. I mean, well, wherever he's from. The citizen of the world in the White House. Let's put it that way. Woody Allen's favorite president. 8% jobless in 2013. I don't know, 8%. Are you people crazy? Everyone knows it's closer to 16%. Napolitano sued by agents for illegal immigrant policy. Lawsuit accuses Homeland Security of telling agents to ignore duties and not deport some illegal immigrants. Good for them. It's only the country can only be saved if the workers inside these agencies sue the chiefs, the illegitimate chiefs. They're only people. Remember that. Just remember, Napolitano is a very powerful individual, but she's only an individual. And she is subject to the law. And she just might lose the lawsuit. And if Romney wins, she just might go to jail. The same is true for all of the other Indian chiefs who are breaking the laws in the United States of America. And it's the thing that kept people in check in the past, by the way. It's not that they were any better than they are today. People are afraid that one day they may have to answer to a lawsuit and to an oversight committee and go to jail. That's all. Not anymore. Tattoo infections linked to Manufacturers Inc. We won't go into that. I'm not a tattoo person. I'm sure there's very fine people who are tattooed. I'm not one of them. You notice that Harvey Weinstein is now complaining that someone was out to kill him? Did you see that big story? This is a week after he embarrassed himself by calling for a ban on guns after the shoot-up in the movie theater to cover up the fact that it was his movies, probably more than any other factor in America, that instills violence in the minds of the deranged and the weak-minded. The madness that Weinstein has produced, the vile pornography and filth that Weinslime has produced, is probably more of a connection between the filth that he puts out in the movies and the violence that's occurring in this country than any other factor. So Weinslime comes out and attacks guns. 2 weeks later now, he says an actor is out to kill him. Well, nobody can support that kind of actor if he actually did it. But How come he gets away with it? Why? Because he supports the president. That's why. Why do I have to read about Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie ever again? Why must I ever see another story about these losers? Why? Why must I ever, ever see another story about them? I can't take it anymore. Why does Murdoch continuously flood our minds with stories about Brad Armpit and Angela Jolie? Why? Yeah, well, why? Because people read it, I guess. They're more interested in that than the NDAA, that's why. Aspiring actor arrested for alleged $4 million extortion plot against Oscar-winning producer Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein and fashion designer wife Georgina Chapman. In an attempt to... Vivek Shah, age 25, was looking to launch a career in film and television and had scored a few bit parts in some bad movies. He allegedly sent threatening letters to Weinstein and four other powerful magnates, including coal magnate Christopher Klein, as well as an oil tycoon and the owner of an NHL team. Weinstein is not named in the affidavit, but instead described as a Connecticut resident and co-founder of a film studio. Shah's Facebook page contained countless photos of him with A-list stars like Tom Cruise, Angela Not Jolie, Ozzy the Junkie Osbourne, and Sophia, whoever she is, Vergara. What's interesting to me about this story is not so much as this idiot sent them threatening letters, which of course should land them in jail for 10 years. But what's interesting to me is that so-called A-listers would let their picture be taken with a nobody like this guy Shah. And so I was thinking about it, how could a guy like this nobody actor get next to these A-listers and get a picture taken with them? And I figured the answer out. Vivek Shah is Vivek Shah. Now, how does Vivek Shah look? He's not an ordinary white man with a muscular arm and a tattoo coming up to Tom Cruise, is he? Why, he's a Middle Easterner, possibly even a Muslim. And so therefore, all of these PC actors, oh, yeah, sure, I'll take a picture with you. Sure, put your arm around me. I don't want to be seen as a racist. I can't reject you. So every one of these schmucks in Hollywood, this guy comes up to him, can I have a picture with you? So they look at him. Well, I don't know who this schmuck is, but look, he must be a Muslim. I better say yes, or else it could be bad press for me. Right away, the arm goes around the guy, and there's a picture taken with this nobody and the A-lister. It just shows you what sheep they are. It just shows you the people that your children look up to as role models. They're sheeple. They're sheeple, basically, run by a guy like Weinstein. I don't know Weinstein personally, but I know people who do. And I can tell you some very bad stories about his business dealings. That's all I can say to you. He's not very well liked in the business community of Hollywood. In fact, any more I can't tell you, but there's millions of dollars involved on many, many fronts. But let's put aside his business dealings or his alleged business dealings. The movies that Harvey Weinstein has produced are pornographic and violent. That is correct. Is that true? Yes. Do you suspect that they have influenced the minds in a negative way of many people? If you don't, then there's something wrong with you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Of the making of many shows, there is no end. Welcome back to Ecclesiastes Savage. I have a little interesting piece to play for you. On the lines of NPR, we made it up for you. Listen.
You're listening to NSR, National Savage Radio.
See, now the Harvard professor can call back and probably feel more comfortable. He heard the fancy music, so he can feel a little more fanciful about what I might tell him. You know, it's not the it's the corporations, and if you don't know that, it's the multinationals controlling everything. Oh, a real wizard. He must be a professor of economics, no less, at Harvard. That without his tenured professorship, he couldn't make $100,000 in his lifetime. As an example, let's go to Sean Penn's favorite dictatorship, Venezuela. This article, I just found it a minute ago. Venezuela imports oil despite having the largest reserves in the world. Did you hear this? Sean Penn's hero, Hugo Chavez, the dictator, has so destroyed the petroleum industry in his own nation. Guess who is selling him gasoline and oil? Take a guess. your government. Do you know that according to the so-called Department of Energy, Venezuela imported 1 million barrels of processed gasoline in December of 2011 from the United States of America? That's right. We are selling crude oil to a dictatorship that stands to destroy us, Venezuela. Can you explain why Obama would be selling oil to Venezuela? Can you explain why Venezuela lacks refinery capacity? Even though it has the largest reserve of crude oil on the planet, estimated at 316,000 millions of barrels, why is it that Venezuela, which 10 years ago exported gasoline to other countries, including the United States, is now a net importer of gasoline and crude oil? The answer is because communists can't manage anything. All they can do is lie, cheat, and steal. And that's exactly what Obama is doing to this country. That's right. Experts say that the refinery capacity in Venezuela has been dismantled in the last 10 years. And Venezuela has not built a refinery since Obama/Chavez took power, despite promising to build dozens of them. So why would Obama not build new oil refineries in America? Why would Obama have banned drilling in the Gulf of Mexico while permitting foreign entities to drill in the Gulf of Mexico, at the same time supporting corrupt, fake, fraudulent solar companies that will never, ever produce enough capacity for the cities that they are being built around? Why? For the same reasons that I've been trying to tell you. Some of it is disguised as altruism, the desire to provide cleaner, cheaper energy. And in the long run, 50 years from now, 60 years from now, there might be some technological breakthroughs that would permit us to be running on solar energy. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? I'd love to have a solar generator on the top of my car. I'd love it. I could give up my gasoline engines and my cars and my boats and run it off the sun. I'd love that. But we're maybe a half a century away from that day. So I have nothing against the government funding such research in universities. They should be doing so. They'd be remiss not to. But to give $900 million to a favorite politician's brother-in-law to build a solar factory in the middle of Nevada, which will produce almost no energy, has nothing to do with making us energy independent, does it, boys and girls? Or have you already missed the point? I suppose so, but then it's not my job to say any more than I've already said. In Venezuela, Ray Chavez has apparent money edge. So even in Venezuela, a dictatorship, an outright naked dictatorship, he has a money edge over his opponent. I guess Hollywood has supported him with their money. I guess Sean Penn has gone down there and given of himself quite freely. Unbelievable to me. What would you like to talk about? Orlando, Florida. Monique, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Savage. I just wanted to let you know that I have been recently listening to your program, and I appreciate you in every aspect. I appreciate your honesty and your truth. And I would like to just add that I am a black woman from the Caribbean. I am not African American, but I am very proud to say that I am a grateful citizen, and I am 75 years old, but I haven't lost all my marbles just yet.
No, of course not. Well, you can look through a fraud when you see him and hear him, and I think what you're saying is pretty clear. We don't have to mention the big O word. We know that there are different people in every race, good, bad, and indifferent, and it has nothing to do with race. It has to do with people. My mother taught me that. It's turned out to be true. It's not about race. It's about character, and we happen to have a character who's very shady in the White House. It's as simple as that. And I thank you for your call and bless you for the listenership. There's a great book written on that subject many years ago. And many people have forgotten it, but I don't want to go into it, called Not Out of Africa by an African American. Great book, 10 years ago. Roundly condemned by the
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
questions for the Savage Nation today. Political conventions, Republican, Democrat. Do you even care about political conventions anymore? This is something that goes back to the 1850s. I mean, why are they needed in the age of phones and email? I ask myself and I've asked you. Do you feel like you as a citizen are any part of the political process other than as a voter? Meaning, you're not an apparatchik, and all the fools with the balloons are apparatchiks. Do you feel left out of the electoral process? Whatever, okay? Here's some of the audio that we've culled for you today on the Savage Nation. The Republican National Convention is coming up next week. Here are some people who are really excited about it.
You know, everyone in Tampa is really excited about the RNC. It's a great boost for Tampa. The Dollhouse has been here for 22 years. We started a major remodel in November. We put over probably about $1.3 million into the club, getting ready for the RNC. I think our average age is somewhere between 35 and 80 years old. And I think people come in here, it's an escape from reality for a while. And we just want to add a little bit more happiness to the people who walk through the front door. There's a porn star. Her name is Lisa Ann. She's very famous for a movie she did, Who's Nailing Palin. And when she dresses up the right way, she's a kind of a dead ringer for Sarah Palin. I just thought it would bring a lot of humor into the Dollhouse. I think people would really enjoy it. It's kind of like Saturday Night Live type thing.
I've been prepping a lot for the RNC convention, working out. I try to, you know, switch my diet up a little bit just so, you know, I'm eating more healthy. I look better. I've been trying to do my makeup better. I bought a lot of new outfits, all different colors, red, white, and blue. I'm trying to incorporate a lot of, you know, America in what I'm wearing. Can't wait to meet a lot of them. I've never really met anyone, you know, too political, so I'm really looking forward to, you know, having new experiences in here.
Ambassador Bolton thinks Obama is weaker than Carter. Well, Bolton's irrelevant himself. He must be weaker than Carter.
Well, I don't think it's very harsh criticism. I think it's entirely accurate. In fact, Jimmy Carter looks better and better every day compared to the way President Obama is conducting our affairs. And I think what Senator McCain is pointing to is not just the conduct of President Obama during war, but his entire approach to protecting American interests around the world. I wish it were a much bigger interest in the campaign because I think it demonstrates a failure of leadership that could hurt us very badly. I think the entire geostrategic situation in the Middle East is collapsing around us as we see the Muslim Brotherhood taking power in Egypt. We see Syria in chaos. We see threats to Israel increasing because of Iran's nuclear weapons program. We see Russia more and more assertive. We see China building up its military capabilities, making huge territorial claims in the East and South China Sea. The United States has no response to much of any of this, and that's the sort of thing the president simply doesn't want to deal with. He doesn't see this as terribly threatening or challenging to the United States, and it's a big mistake.
Here is Biden off the campaign trail.
Well, I asked a rhetorical question. What's gutsy about giving millionaires another tax break? What's bold? What's the bold about gutting Medicare and education and research and development in order to pay for that tax cut? And most of all, ladies and gentlemen, what's new? What is new about their plan? It's not only not new, it's not fair, it's not right, and the people who pay the price for their new plan are the middle class and the working poor. Folks, there's overwhelming evidence that their policies will not grow the economy. It didn't do it before, and it won't now. Folks, we've seen this movie before. And we know how it ends. We know how the movie ends. Again, not hyperbole. It ends with a great recession of 2008.
Wait, you got to hear Mitt Romney.
We recognize the power of individuals who lift themselves and their achievement. We celebrate and recognize achievement of all kinds in our society, knowing that as we do so, we'll have more achievement and more success. If a young person decides to work their heart out to try and make the honor roll, and they study and study and study and are able to do that, we say congratulations to them. Even though we know that to get to school they had to drive on the bus, we don't congratulate the bus driver for them getting the honor roll. We give the honor to the kid that achieved it.
A little from Paul Ryan next.
Here's what's wrong with Washington. Too many politicians, like President Obama, have put their own reelection ahead of the next generation. That's wrong. What we want to do is earn your support. We want to deserve victory so that together we get a mandate to get this country back on track, to reassert our founding principles, and to get people back to work. That's what this is all about. You remember that one where he said, people in places like Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, we cling to our guns and our religion. Hey, as a Catholic deer hunter, guilty as charged, all right? That's what freedom is.
And here is Wasserman Schultz spewing lies about the GOP. Go, Debbie, go. Even your boss doesn't like you.
I would say that the sentiment that I'm feeling as a woman is incredible disappointment. You saw dozens of Republicans rushing to condemn those comments. And those condemnations, they ring pretty hollow when so many of them, including Paul Ryan, who was Mitt Romney's choice to run for vice president, over 200 Republicans co-sponsored the policy that reflects Todd Akin's sentiment when they co-sponsored H.R. 3 last year that would have changed in the law the definition of rape to only mean forcible rape. And so, you know, forgive me if I'm less than I have not much belief in their protestations about Todd Akin's sentiment when Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, and dozens of their Republican colleagues have embraced that sentiment by co-sponsoring legislation that would do just that in the law.
What's on michaelsavage.com? Let's go to the website together, the home of the Savage Nation. Well, if you go to michaelsavage.com, you'll get a laugh because this is something I just heard today in a restaurant from a friend of mine. You ready for this? What's the difference between backers of Romney and backers of Obama? Romney supporters sign the front of the check. Obama supporters sign the back of the check. You guys have to go look at that on the website. That is really good. You got to take a look at this. Flashback. Obama gave $737 million loan guarantee from the Department of Corrupt Energy to Nevada solar firm connected to Nancy Pelosi. $737 million. It's called a Nevada solar company. It's called a Tonopah Solar Company in Harry Reid's Nevada. Got a $737 million loan from Obama's DOE. The project will produce a 110-megawatt power system, and it will produce 45 permanent workers. That will cost you, the taxpayer, just only $16 million per job. One of the investment partners in this endeavor is Pacific Corporate Group, PCG. The PCG executive director is Ron Pelosi, who was the brother to Nancy's husband. Nothing going on here, folks. Just move along. Move on, move along. This is Obama at work. There's another very alarming story, another flashback. We have executive order after executive order. We now have the equivalent of martial law where you can be arrested. There is no due process, no judicial oversight. Obama is now a putative dictator. Who published this? The Huffington Post. Even the liberals understand we have a dictator in the office. The only problem is Romney won't say it. The Dems in California are rushing to give illegal aliens licenses just in time to vote again for Jerry Moonbeam Brown. In Hollywood, Harvey Weinstein is threatened by an extortionist. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Well, let's go down to the bottom. Democrat lawmaker in pedophile scandal drops out. Picked up a boy at arrest, stopped the rest is history. Third world diseases making a comeback in the United States because of illegal aliens. They're killing us. Couple dies trying to rescue a dog from a lake. There's other stories on my website. 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Wait, hang on before I go. You know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot by posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Living in skewed times, we had one of the greatest feats of human engineering ever achieved, Mars. Do you know what happened with regard to Mars? The rover landed on Mars. Do you have any idea what this is historically? No. Why? Because Obama doesn't want you to know about the landing on Mars. First of all, he's a man who killed NASA. Why does he care about landing on Mars when he wants to land back in the White House? 1-800-449-8255. Is this the most corrupt administration in American history? Other than the trillions of dollars in fraudulent loans to solar companies, what other scandals do you know of that the Obama administration has been and is involved with that Romney is not talking about? How's that for a question? You can cover that if you'd like. Or if you want, we can talk about the Sikh temple shooter. Or if you want, we could talk about the anti-Christian, anti-white Southern Poverty Law Center that suddenly injects themselves into this situation. Southern Poverty Law Center? What do they have to do with this madman and his shooting? If you remember, it's the same anti-Christian, anti-white Southern Poverty Law Center, along with the anti-American, anti-Christian ACLU that filed a lawsuit against Alabama Supreme Court Justice Roy Moore because he displayed a two-ton figure of the Ten Commandments on public property. They took Moore out of the court, and the monument was blown up by the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ACLU. On March 18, 2003, the anti-Christian, anti-white, anti-American Southern Poverty Law Center took the case of two illegal aliens from El Salvador who trespassed through a Texas ranch owned by Joseph Sutton. They were accosted by vigilantes known as Ranch Rescue. The El Salvadorans, illegal aliens they are, stated that the ranchers gave them water, cookies, and a blanket before letting them go after about an hour. Nevertheless, the verminous Mexican-American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, along with the Southern Poverty Law Center, along with the ACLU, along with rat local attorneys, filed a civil suit against Ranch Rescue in Texas. And in April of 2005, the anti-white, anti-Christian Southern Poverty Law Center obtained judgments totaling $1 million against Nethercott and Mr. Foote, Ranch Rescue's leader. These awards came 6 months after a $350,000 judgment in the same case and coincided with a $100,000 out-of-court settlement with Sutton, all because they intercepted two illegal aliens on their ranch, their own ranch from El Salvador. Mr. Nethercott's 70-acre Arizona property, which was Ranch Rescue's headquarters, was seized by the anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-white Southern Poverty Law Center. The Southern Poverty Law Center came out against Arizona's SB 1070, the immigration measure designed to prevent Arizona from being overrun by non-citizens. The Southern Poverty Law Center, what a name, by the way, for a group, called the Arizonans who were trying to defend themselves brazenly unconstitutional. The Southern Poverty Law Center works hand in glove with Janet Napolitano's DHS to create guidelines to combat so-called extremism. And as you well know, the rest is history. What about a list of terror incidents since 9/11? Not conducted by white Christian conservative returning war veterans. Shall I give you a few of them? that Wolf Blitzer seems to have omitted covering. December 22, 2001, shoe bomb plot. July 4, 2002, an Egyptian gunman opened fire at an El Al ticket counter in Los Angeles, killing two Israelis before being shot himself. October 2002, John Allen Muhammad and Lee Boyd Malvo conduct the Beltway sniper attacks. March 3, 2006, Mohammad Reza Tahiri Azar, an Iranian-born graduate of the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill, drives an SUV onto a crowded part of campus, injuring nine. August 30th, 2006, an Afghani Muslim hits 19 pedestrians, killing one with his SUV in the San Francisco Bay Area. Federal agents in December of 2006 disrupt Derek Sharif's attack on an Illinois shopping mall planned for the violent jihad just before Christmas. May 7th, 2007, a group of six radical Islamist men allegedly plotting to stage an attack on the Fort Dix military base were arrested by the FBI. June 1st, 2009, Little Rock, Arkansas, Abdullah Khan Mujahid Muhammad, an American Muslim, opens fire on a U.S. military recruiting office. Private William Long was killed and Private Quinton Izialguela was wounded. You know nothing about that. November 5, 2009, Killeen, Texas. Nidal Malik Hassan, while serving as a major in the United States Army, opens fire, killing 13 people and wounding 30 during the Fort Hood massacre. The FBI was watching him. The FBI looked the other way because they were afraid of offending the Council on American Islamic Affairs, whatever they are.
Savage.
Travel, it's the travel blues. I'm going to stop it. I don't want to bum my audience out. Look at this lunatic. Colorado shooting suspect was a psychiatric patient. You hear? She did him a lot of good. Oh, that's a great argument for therapy. Oh, yeah. No, isn't that a great argument for therapy and therapists? Yeah, he was seeing a shrink, and he did it anyway. Unbelievable to me. Let the games begin. Follow it live. I'm not going to, maybe in passing. Blind archer post world record. How does that work? How does a blind archer, that would be like a mute talk show host, wins the a Marconi Award? How could, let us say a mute talk show host wins a Marconi Award. How is that possible? I don't even understand this. How could you be a blind archer? What if I get on an airline plane and the guy says, "Welcome to American Airlines. We would like to let you know that we have the first blind pilot in America flying your plane today because we are an inclusive company." Would you stay on an airplane like that? Blindness is a horrible, terrible thing. But would you want to fly a plane? I don't follow this, what the world we're living in. Where is this going? How does this end? How does this tolerance and inclusiveness end? Where does it end up? Attacking a chicken company because the guy said something? Play Little Star again for a minute. I want to see if it triggers anything positive in me. I don't know if I can talk about Chick-fil-A. No one knows the song. Nah, turn it off. That's not provoking the right emotion. Maudlin. I need an upbeat rock and roll song. I can feel already. What's this now? That's too raucous for the mood I'm in. That's on the other side, a little too. I can feel I'm in the lag phase of the sine curve. I'm in a depressed mood because I'm traveling the dog. I could see what it is. It's not leaving the pants in the closet. That's sort of a symbol. It's leaving my dog. I don't want to leave him. I want him to come with me, but I'm told it's too hot there from his fur. He won't do well. You won't be able to go in the pool. The dog has a tick. He has OCD. If I swim in a pool, he wants to jump in. I say, so what's wrong with letting him jump in a pool? Nothing. Here's the problem. He drinks the water, and he gets sick from the chlorine. Then I have to put up with the diarrhea, so you don't know what to do with him. If I swim, he wants to swim. Okay, given that's okay. I don't mind. But he drinks the water while he swims, and I try to stop him. He doesn't understand it. He's smart. Poodles are very smart. A poodle is smarter than the average Democrat voter. There's no question about it. I would say my dog has a higher IQ than the average Democrat voter in the state of California. A bankrupt state, and they vote for Jerry Brown and puts in a railroad to nowhere. That's going to bankrupt the state even further. That's Democrats at work. But the poodle, as intelligent as it is still a dog, right? He can't help himself. You talk to him, you think he understands you.
Oh, yeah, right. They're not a human. They make believe they understand. They're such con men, dogs. That's why I love them. You talk, they listen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. They're like a therapist. They have about as much effect as the Colorado shooting suspect psychiatrist does did on him as they do on you. You know, there's an understanding. They fake it. Like most therapists are so bored of patients. They don't listen to them. And what does that tell you about yourself? It's like billable hours to a lawyer. So it's like a dog. Oh, and they look at you, the eyes, and but they don't know what you're saying. They have no idea. They're looking at you and just mirroring back your face. So therefore, you could give it a bath. It smells fluffy and like it's a human, right? You take it for a walk. It rubs in the pee 2 seconds later and smells. It's still a dog. No matter what you say to it, Teddy, look, let's have a. You're 8 years old. I can't take this bathing you every time you go out. Can't you just lift your leg on a bush and walk away like a normal dog? You go out right away, he's rubbing in the hedge, rubbing in the other dogs. Why are you doing this? He looks at me like I'm crazy for even asking it. He's a dog. That's what dogs do. He rubs against the bushes. No matter what I say to him, he'll rub in the bush and destroy the wash job I just gave him. Come on, he smells. I have to wash him again. I can't stand it. So I'd rather not take him out. I let him go in his own backyard. Then you clean it up. That's the. But what I'm getting at is they don't really understand much of what you say. It's all intuition and acting. They're like little parrots. So as I'm saying to you, he jumps in the swimming pool. And no matter what you say to him, no matter how smart he looks, he's going to drink the water and vomit from the chlorine in it. You can't break him of it. So that's one thing. Then number two. Let's say I'm going to go in the ocean and go surfing again, which I did last time. Remember how good it was for me? Remember I broke through? It was like a whole big thing. Learned to surf at my age. I don't mean like professional. I got up on the board, you know, was in the warm water. The dog, what am I going to do with him while I'm in the ocean? He's going to go on the surfboard with me. I'm going to get him a pair of glasses and a wetsuit. First of all, it's very hot. The ocean water is 87 degrees or say 86, which is astounding. That I can't wait for. My luck, a manatee will swim by, attract the shark. It'll take off a leg. There's a lot of sharks in the Floridian waters. You're not somehow in there. So that's why a lot of people like swimming pools. That's another set of problems. I like to swim at dawn alone in a pool. So you're alone in a pool at dawn. What if you have a heart attack, you say to yourself? No, you do think of these things. I do. I mean, it enters my mind. Let's say I go in the pool alone. No one's at the pool. No video camera, no video surveillance. And have a heart attack at 6 o'clock in the morning. She comes out, she finds a floating 170-pound whitefish in the pool. What is she going to do? It's the aftermath. I don't want to be left in the pool. So on the other hand, then the dog should be with me at dawn. In case I do stroke out, he goes running in the house.
He's dead in the pool. Come on out.
You think it's like in the movies. He's going to grab me by the collar, pull me out, and give me a CPR. He's going to run to a fireman. Hey, come to the roof, roof. Come to the pool. He's like, roof. Poodle save Sam. Roof, roof. Poodle save Sam. You could see what I do with myself. I have too much time on my hands. It's why I've taken to writing novels. No, you got to write something to get it out of your head. Otherwise, you wind up like the guy with the hair, the dyed hair. No, if you don't have outlets you know what I'm saying? If you don't have outlets, you wind up with the red hair. You wind up going postal. You got to let it out of you somehow, don't you? No one's listening already. The same thing, a chicken fillet this. What's Romney doing in the Olympics? What did he go there for? Why did he go there and get set up with that two-faced camera on? That false conservative. He was supposed to take me off the list of murderers and terrorists. He lied. Oh, a politician lied? Shocking. Just shocking. What's going to happen when Romney becomes president? You think he'll take me off the list? Oh, I better start being nice to him. Yeah, right. He'll take me off the list. Yeah. Well, who wants to go to England anyway? I'm going to go to Ireland when everything's said and done. I'm going to take a tour group to Ireland. We're going to go to the border of England in Ireland. We're going to jeer the British with the most anti-British slogans imaginable. I'll have more fun with the Irish than with the English anyway. That's the end of it. The Irish didn't put me on a list, did they? No. I always get along with the Irish. I don't care what their politics are. For something, there's something melancholic about Irish people that I like. I don't like overtly cheerful people. I don't trust them. I mean, there's something to be said for confidence, yes. But on the other hand, this constant how to win friends and influence people with smiles and, you know, utter confidence, I don't buy it. I'm sorry. But the Irish are always perennially, under the surface, miserably sad. Some 1,000 years of oppression. That I can relate to. What's already time? We're hitting a shot? Well, we have questions out there. It's open mic to mic. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. If you're still listening to me, then you're in bad shape. So what, my audience is sports fanatics? They want to watch the blind archer? I don't get it. The pageantry, when they fire that girl from Greece, she said something about West Nile virus. I don't even know what it was. That's the world I'm living in? Every word now you get fired or crucified? That's freedom of speech. That's what your ancestors died for. Every word out of everyone's mouth is someone's going to sue you. I go on my cell phone, apps. I hit the wrong button. It goes to apps. I was born in a pre-apps age. I don't even know what an app is. To me, if I saw the word APP, it meant someone had appendicitis. I was afraid they were going to die of a disease, like an infection. So app meant appendix. Now app, I don't even know what. So many apps. Buy the app. App this, select the community. I have a primitive phone. I have a Samsung. I hide it. I don't have an iPhone. I don't like moving my finger around. Looks like it's... I have a Samsung Rugby. Old-fashioned, very rugged. You could drop it. It bounces. Numbers. I put it because the numbers are big. I like you could take pictures with it. I've taken pictures. It's a durable AT&T Rugby. AT&T Samsung Rugby phone. But I pull it out. Youngsters snicker at me. Look at him. They're so sophisticated with their... moving their finger around. A word they can't write. A full sentence, illiterate sentence they can't write. A book they've never written, let alone a letter. They text each other, they can't write a letter. It's like they can move their body on a dance floor, but they can't dance. You know what I mean? Same thing. Holding a girl, forget about it. Dancing across from a girl, yes. May as well dance with a chair in the room. What's the point of dancing? Whatever. Where are you? I got callers. Brian in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. Nice to talk to you again. I'm a loyal listener and building your Portland Savage Nation. Enjoy your humor and logic. I have a
It used to be known as the wit and wisdom of Michael Savage in this case. In other words, I can be very wise and I can be very witty, or I can be very boring at times. I understand that. Do you think today I'm being witty, wise, or boring?
I'd say witty and wise.
Oh, thank God. I skipped the beat. You took a little while to answer that one. I'm a little worried. No, I swear. It was like a pause. If it was instantly, oh, Mike, it was witty, okay. But no, it was, I think witty, okay. That's not bad. That could be a joke within a joke. BJ in New York on WOR. Go ahead.
The simple pleasures are the best way to go, and that's been a hallmark of your life. And the Irish people would welcome you with open arms because they don't care much for subjugation or royalty.
Thank you. That's exactly right. They made me into an honorary Irishman of the 1912 period. You know that the Brits have made me into the equivalent of an Irish citizen in the period about 1912.
Michael Collins, now we have Michael Savage.
That's right. You know what? That's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll go to Ireland. I once almost moved there, by the way. I almost emigrated to Ireland. Would you believe it? About 30 years ago, I was going through a phase of I can't live in this country anymore, not with the leftists, what they're doing to this country. And I thought of moving to Ireland, but it was just too complex. I thought of getting like a thatched house, living out in the countryside. What it really was, I heard that they treated writers very well. It would have been a disastrous mistake for me in retrospect. I'm glad I didn't go. I was going to live the writer's life out in the woods. It wouldn't have worked at all. I wouldn't have fit in. I know I wouldn't have fit in. I would have had some friends, you know, the drinking buddies in the pubs. I'd weigh about 197 pounds, at least, maybe 220, maybe a 210-er. Right now I'm still in, you know, livable shape, but the beer. I'm back on wine again. I'm starting to drink wine. I can drink wine into summer. I'm drinking an Alsatian white wine. It's unbelievable. Cheap, but good. I got it from my friend up in Chalet Basque. I first tasted it up there, and I didn't get a headache. Imagine that I've reached a point in life where everything has to be like, does it cause a reaction, like an aversion reaction? Isn't it sickening? I used to drink wine by the bottle. Never bothered me. Then I reached a point where a sip, ugh, every sip my head would, So I was like reduced to drinking a beer or a vodka because it didn't affect me because vodka is the purest of drinks of alcohol, you know, and then the beer, if you know, the German beers are the best. And that was it. I couldn't drink wine. But now I'm drinking wine. It was much, much different high. Couple of glasses of wine, totally different. We should talk about alcohol on Friday, what kind of alcohol and what it does for you. It's absolutely not the same. Look, you drink lab alcohol, you're going to get one buzz. You drink beer, you're going to get another. Let's say in the same amount of alcohol, you drink wine, you're going to get yet another. It's the congeners in the other the other drinks, what they do to you. No wonder people, they swirl it. They look at it, they're just drunks. I love guys sitting around and I swirl. What are they swirling? They have to show off with a glass of wine. Who are they fooling? They just want to drink it and get, wasted. Ex-Wall Streeter took cyanide after the guilty verdict. You see, it fits right into the show. Remember the former Wall Street trader who collapsed in court after being found guilty of arson? Remember they put something in his mouth? They found that it was cyanide. Unbelievable. Orangutan sent to island to kick smoking habit. Oh, come on. That's not... Really? I always had a soft spot for orangutans. They're red. You know their red fur? I'm starting to think about it. You got to be careful. Get an attack orangutan in this country. You don't know what's liable to happen. What if you have a pet orangutan and it runs amok in the street?
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
What would you like to talk about? School policy forces students to take pregnancy tests. Grapefruit juice shown to boost drugs' anti-cancer properties. 1-800-449-8255. Why is Obama ignoring and disrespecting NASA is a real big question. Joe in Sacramento, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, the reason why he doesn't want to surround himself with NASA people in their white lab coats is because he can't take credit for it.
Well, he was actually the one who eviscerated NASA and ended the shuttle.
Exactly, and that's exactly why he doesn't want to bring more attention to it. He's defunding them.
Yeah, but this is a victory for all of America. He could certainly bask in their success, couldn't he?
I just don't think he's worried about all of America. I think he's worried about the people that he's catering to, and that's it.
So you think that the deadbeat welfare recipients and other losers would be offended by NASA's success if Obama glorified them?
I don't think that that pertains to them at all. I think the only thing they're worried about is where is their next check coming from? When do they get their next food stamps? And what else can I get from the government?
So in other words, if he would surround himself with these scientists and engineers who landed this successfully on Mars, this the rover mission, right? What would happen is you mean the welfare recipients would be offended by it because it would show that Obama's kind of cavorting with the enemy? Is that it? That we don't need any space missions anymore?
I don't think that that pertains to them. I think the only thing they see is what's in front of them today, not what's going to happen down the road at all. I don't think that they see how this benefits them.
I see. So it's not about the government cheese, therefore.
Exactly. Where's my block?
There's no government cheese. There's no interest from Obama. This is a very sad day in America to believe that we have a president who is so anti-American that he would not even mention this. Doug in Houston, your opinion, why is Obama disrespecting NASA and his great victory?
I think it's more base than that even. It's just a throwback to Chicago politics. It's to punish places like Georgia and especially Houston, Texas, where, we don't want to bring out anything positive from somewhere like Houston, Texas that's been so against the Obama administration. I mean, a good example in a similar vein was in 2010, we had some of the worst, Texas had some of the worst wildfires ever, but they refused to call it a national emergency.
Oh, because that way you'd have to send federal money. So in other words, he thinks that this would give Texas too much pride?
I think that.
Unbelievable. I think it's deeper than that, personally. I think it's because he hates America. He resents America. And I also think there's a psychological warp inside Obama's brain that has him envious of the geniuses at NASA because we still don't know what his grades were at Columbia. In fact, we don't really know that he went to Columbia. There's a whole article out now from somebody who allegedly attended Columbia when he did, who doesn't remember him. He said he was at Columbia Law the same years that Obama was there, but he doesn't ever remember meeting a man named Obama. And there are others who were there who say they don't think he ever went to Columbia, which is why Obama will not release his college transcripts. And frankly, this is another failure of Romney and his campaign. He should be hammering Obama and his college transcripts, saying, Mr. Obama, there are many questions about your college experience. How did you get into Columbia? How did you get into Harvard? We'd like you to release your grades and your transcripts. And yet he won't do it. So there's something very, very smoky about it. And where there's smoke, there's fire. Something is very, very wrong. But to me, the envy of Obama, of the scientists and engineers who put this mission on Mars, is so apparent that I think it explains it, by the way. I think it explains it. I think that he's actually envious of the men and women, possibly. I don't know how many women were involved, but the men and women, let's say, the scientists and engineers.
Savage.